fall. Baby, it's not mine. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, no doubt when you see you are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth. This is the beginning of our second hour. I'm your host, George Butler.
Welcome back to the second hour of The Secret Truth. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Well, the first hour was exclusively with Bill Hendon, the author of An Enormous Crime. We hope that you got some insight into that. And coming up next is the second hour, and Ted Sampley joins us further down into that second hour. And so if you missed the first hour, we were talking about a book written by Bill Hendon, and he was also a former U.S. representative. And also, he was a counsel on a special committee that was headed up by John Kerry and John McCain, both of whom swept the question of VOW left behind in Vietnam under the carpet. And today, Rolling Thunder, which was Ted Sampley was one of the founders of Rolling Thunder, and they're trying to get some, you know, political, you know what I mean, lobbying effort going up there, but they haven't been able to do anything either. So it's a sad state of affairs that we can't get our, you know, duly elected public you know, officials to do anything on the question of Vietnam. We covered during the first hour, it looked like the economy contracted by 0.7%. The Islamists, they've got all these different headlines everywhere about the Islamists promised blood at Phoenix and the, on the Draw Muhammad contest. And the lady that sponsored the one up there in Dallas, she's just Looney Tunes. There's no doubt that she's just, you know, creating a cauldron of upsetfulness in the Muslim communities in this country. And she hides behind this freedom of speech type of facade. Hastert, a former House Speaker of the House, reportedly paid $3.5 million to hide some kind of inappropriate behavior when he was a wrestling coach, way back years ago. So that's in the news also. Have you thought about what we need to do to get this country right? You've got to not only talk. I have friends that I sit with, and they say, well, George, why don't you do this, and why don't you do that? And I pose the question to them, well, why don't you do those things that you're suggesting I do? Charlotte Littlefield and I have been on the air since November 1st, 2006, and Alex Jones, and there's a lot of other good people out there, have been on the air longer and done a lot more than we have. We've done a little bit. We've broadcast well over 500 programs. We also broadcast some on We the People Radio Network. So we have a year and a half of broadcast there also. So the thing to do is, people, just quit suggesting that I do something that you want me to do that you're not willing to do. Before you start telling me that you ought to do this and you ought to do that, well, why don't you do those things? Why don't you step up to the plate? You know, it's because you don't want to take the risk. You want to put the risk on me and Alex and everybody else, but you won't take the risk, see. Charlotte and I have stood up on very controversial issues like 9/11. There are a lot of people out there that don't get it yet. There is a woman that's written, Rebecca Roth, I believe, has written a book of fiction lately. But what's important, I think, we're going to try to get her on the air about 9/11, is that she's done some in-depth research on those calls that came from the aircraft that were hijacked. Were not feasible because when you get up so high, a few thousand feet, back then at that time in 2001, you could not make a cell phone call from a airliner that was going 400 or 500 miles an hour, much less several thousand feet above the ground. So that is a big hole in the whole 9/11 truth scenario, so forth. We are having a memorial service tomorrow in remembrance of those that gave their lives and other veterans still living in front of William Barrett Travis, the commander of the Alamo, the school was named after. It's my alma mater and others that will be there, went to school. And we're going to be out there. If you didn't catch it the first hour, just repeating an announcement here. You can catch it. You can go up there tomorrow. It'd be May 30th, 2015. Dan Arellano has headed up this effort with a lot of other good people on board. I don't have a list of all the people that contributed and so forth and their efforts. But come out there. We'll have to get that list up. I'll get that list from Dan tonight, tomorrow. We'll get that thing going, make part of this broadcast. But anyway, each little effort that you do is what you stand for. You go up here, you show up at these things, you say, I'm here, I'm supporting, I'm honoring these people. And the thing about the Vietnam thing is that there's a lot of problems with the way that war was managed. LBJ was in office, we lost JFK. JFK wanted to pull out of Vietnam. LBJ expanded it with all these advisors, they told him that we've got to win this war, they just made millions and into the billions out of the war. So it's always that way. So we throw away 57,000 lives, American lives. We disrupt families. We cause all kinds of grief. And so then we come back with Agent Orange. Tomorrow there's going to be a monument put up. It not will only name those that were injured and lost their lives and so forth in combat, but it will also name those that did lose their lives eventually and so forth by other ailments, including Agent Orange. So we have these big chemical companies that made a fortune. Now we've got these big pharmaceutical companies. It's just these big interests. And it's just hard to conceive of this. In the 50s, when I was growing up, we didn't have the corporations as large as they are today. And what's happening also is that this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, let me ask you something. Is it American for a secret room inside the Capitol to be set up for representatives and senators to read an agreement they call a trade agreement, but it's more than that. But is it American? Is it the American way for secrecy to be a secret room to be set up and only the U.S. representatives and senators now? Oh, by the way, listening audience, they've kept this agenda and this agreement secret since the time they began it. There were only a few representatives and congressional members that were even allowed to have to be privy to even some of the this trade agreement articles and language and so forth. Now they're saying, oh, anybody can come in and look at this in this secret room. Oh no, that's secret room. Forget that. That's un-American totally. So they're allowing the U.S. representatives and our senators are going to this secret room. They can't take notes. They can't take aids with them. They can't take recorders, smartphones, all that. This trade agreement has been declared a security type of document. If they go out of there, they could be held in contempt of and in violation of national security laws. What is happening to the country? we've got a bunch of big money interests and international money interests coming in from Europe and so forth that are destroying this country. And the way that they've been using, one of the main tools has been 9/11. With 9/11, it's like a Pearl Harbor effect. You can lead people around and tell them what to do. You'll say, oh, 9/11, they attacked those Muslims, the jihadists attacked our country, and you've got the American public's attention. We've got to look deeper into this. We cannot give up our investigation into 9/11. There are some insights recently. Dr. Judy Wood, has some book out now. Where did the buildings go? I would recommend getting that book. Also, A&E Architects, A&E 9/11 Truth. It stands for Architects and Engineers, 9/11truth.org. They came in from California led by Richard Gage. He has some samples that they've taken, and they state that there's a thermite in the dust itself, which would be a very, very incendiary type of explosive dust. So that they're coming in, that what that may not be quite the answer, not with what Judy Wood is saying, but Richard Gage and them have heightened the awareness that Building 7 came down late in the day, and they pulled that building. And in fact, the fire commander, you know, was talking to Silverstein, and Silverstein says, pull it. See? And we all, you know, translate that out to, you know, detonate it. I mean, pull it down. So it was either detonated or other higher energy weapons were used to bring the buildings down, according to Judy Wood. But Building 7 stood until, and then you've got BBC correspondence with Building 7 in the background that you can see live, and they're announcing that Building 7 has already collapsed and it hadn't, meaning that there was collusion there about pulling it and taking it down. So we've got to look at that. We've got to look at the Pentagon. The Pentagon attack has multiple problems. It goes at one thing after another. You've got to begin on Facebook today. Earlier today, I said something to someone that was talking about a pro-gun control type advocate, and I said, wake up, guns save more lives than they're used to take lives. And I'm getting that from some of the top experts, but this particular individual, said, took offense to me saying, wake up, you know. Well, all I can say, to that individual, and we're not going to do any name calling here or anything else, is I, in the late, 30s, I'm about 71 now. Well, I was as deluded as this individual is now from the left. So I was in a very delusional state, but I was coming from the right. Then we have very delusional people coming from the left. So the problem is that everyone exists in a delusion. And the way that when I say delusion, I'm not saying that their perception of reality or the reality is some illusion type thing. The word delusion and illusion, let's get those things straight. Illusion is more visual, that you see something is not there, like the water out on the desert. But a delusion can be defined in several ways. But the way that I define delusion is, I define delusion is that from birth, I believe that there's a splitting off from that core real self into a false self. And then that core self is still there. And I believe that this false self takes on the sort of a mantra of ego, 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 see? And then actually the parents in prospering the child and taking care of the child are inducing into the child exactly what has been induced upon them and predisposed them to a certain way of thinking about reality, see. In other words, I believe that we're most of us are existing in a very, very false sense of reality that is not that accurate, see. I really don't think in my early thinking, I was caught up in the delusional aspect, the field system, that we're surrounded by electromagnetic fields, by light energy and heat energy and so forth. Some are visible. So we exist in this field system. We're from birth, we're deluded by our parents, unknowingly, unwittingly, but they're not that they're bad parents. They have been suffering. They are suffering from the same delusion of reality that they induce that into us. It's very, very simple what I'm saying. I've read recently Eckhart Tolle, see, and I'm not saying that we're divine at all. I'm not into this New Age cosmic humanism. I'm not into humanism. I'm not into human rights. I'm into natural rights and natural law. Those are the things that I rest my worldview on. And the closer that you can get back to reality as it exists and the natural state, you're going to, that was not invented and concocted by man. The interpretation of what exists can be different from man to man, but the reality of what is natural there is characteristic of itself, and it has an innate quality that was not man created, and that's basically what I believe in. And the founding fathers were subscribers to the natural law. Today, go to these schools, go to the universities, or wherever you go. And say natural law, and they say, what? What is that, you know? They've all been educated and predisposed into secular humanists and a human, rights and all this other stuff. Not that I don't support human rights. The Bill of Rights was like human rights that was set out by a man's hand. But if you'll look at the Bill of Rights, the second one, the right to keep and bear arms is based upon a natural right. So see, that has really connection back to natural law, natural rights, see. And this is where, when I get into a conversation with an individual about gun rights versus, gun control, it's absolutely wrong to support gun control. Gun control means that you're defaulting to a statist system. And when you default to a statist system, you're giving power to governments. Governments become repressive over a period of time and do their citizens no good but more harm than good. So if you give a monopoly of deadly force just to the government, you're going to have a tremendous repressive government eventually. All the totalitarian governments in the world practice gun control. They will not countenance gun rights. This is one of the few countries in the world where we still have a right to keep and bear arms. It makes sense. It's the one thing that's keeping us, from being totally overrun. And now we've got these very, very militaristic police that are coming in and knocking down our doors. And there are some states that are enacting laws, like in Indiana the other day, that says, hold it just a second. The man is home, is his castle, and you can't just come in there and knock his door down on some kind of charges. There have been many people shot in their beds, and this little girl was tragically shot and killed. This government, this 9/11 thing is wrong. We are not waking up. We've got to wake up, pay attention, but most of all, we've got to start doing things and becoming politically active. Rand Paul is one of the few people in Congress, and specifically in the Senate, that's trying to fight this NSA draconian wiretapping, wireless, or whatever, and is standing on principles. And Ted Cruz also is one of the outspoken critics of all of this wiretapping and so forth. So we've got to look at this closely. It is not good. We need to reform it. We need to get rid of it. We have secret courts. What good are they? We have a secret room that you have to go into to review the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Are you kidding me? That is like Nazi crap. This country is changed materially. It's not good. Our freedoms are being lost more and more every day. We've got to stand up and speak out about this and do something about it. We cannot countenance this anymore. We've got to lobby our representatives and our senators while they're still there. Before you know it, they're going to go to a cashless society where you'll have to beg to get a piece of bread. And if you're of the wrong stripe, political stripe or whatever, they'll throw you nothing but crumbs. So we've got to start standing up and resisting this tyranny that is right here at our throats. And so come out tomorrow to William B. Travis. And we're going to lay a wreath for those veterans that we lost. But thank you very much, and I hope that you'll enjoy this second hour. And Bill Hendon and Ted Sampley, and they're talking about real things.
Charlotte Littlefield Brown is still on vacation. Welcome back, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, George. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Yeah, Bill Hendon is the author of a book entitled An Enormous Crime, and it exposes the scandalous betrayal by successive governments, including John McCain and John Kerry, in 1992 in turning their backs on veterans left behind as POWs in Vietnam. And it's just really a fine book. I do have a surprise for you. Welcome also Ted Sampley to our program.
Teddy boy, what are you doing?
Thanks for having me aboard. How you doing?
Okay. Welcome aboard there, Ted Sampley. What do you have to say to Bill Hendon anyway?
Well, actually, I don't have a lot to say to Bill. What I have to say, though, is you have a guest that I guarantee you, I promise you, is the world's most expert on the Vietnamese prison system. I can tell you he knows those prison systems up, down, all around. He knows the Vietnamese name. He knows the Vietnamese slang name. He knows the American name. He knows more about those prison systems than the POWs claim to know. And you'll find when reading Enormous Crime that there's so much in it that when these prisoners, like John McCain, come back and say, oh, we knew everybody was in there, they absolutely did not know. And all I can say is if it had not been for Billy Hendon over the many years that I've known him being a true champion when he was in Congress, when he was out of Congress, and now of the men that America left behind and abandoned, this issue people would not know what happened, as much about what happened to these men as they do now. And that is because of the efforts of Bill Hendon and Beth Stewart.
Beth Stewart, George, thank you, Teddy. You're my buddy and I love you like a brother and always have. And I got to repay the favor here. Ted Sampley, served two tours in Vietnam, Green Beret. He's as tough as a pine knot, as we say down south.
Is that what y'all say down there?
Yeah, that's what we say.
And, well, he's into pottery now, though. He's into some artistic, beautiful stuff, right?
Well, he's
softened a little bit, right?
Well, they like me, they've called him every name in the book, and it doesn't faze him. And he has fought for these men. And if I've ever been proud of a guy being on the line with me, And Red McDaniel and Bob Smith and Beth Stewart, who's a co-author of this book, her father's missing in Vietnam, and all these families. Ted's father-in-law a while back was MIA. And listen, they are an inspiration. And Sampley runs a little newspaper down in North Carolina, a veterans newspaper. It's online now. It's called the U.S. Veteran Dispatch, I think it's called. But I'm telling you, the stuff he puts out is truthful. He doesn't beat around the bush. And, you know, if the mainstream media, well, of course, the mainstream media reads Sampley because they want, you know, they may not print the truth, but at least they want to know it. And check his website out. He's got some powerful stuff on it. If you want the truth about what's going on in the Middle East, in Southeast Asia, in the military, Sampley's got it. He's a first-class guy and a buddy of mine, and I'm proud to say so.
Ted, could you tell us about Rolling Thunder a little bit and some of the other activities that you have underway?
Rolling Thunder has been around for over 20 years now, and I'm one of the founding members of it. And it got its start for one reason, and that is they're trying to keep in front of the public the issue of American servicemen that America left behind. These are people that Bill Hendon has tracked left, right, up, and down. He's found documentation. He's found He's tracked them into the prison camps. He's tracked their calls for help. He's documented it. These are the people that Rolling Thunder was formed to try and keep the light on. It has grown to gigantic size now. To on the 20th anniversary, I think we had something like 700,000 show up in Washington D.C. It's grown so big that I fear that many of the people coming for Rolling Thunder may or may not know why Rolling Thunder was formed. But the issue of American servicemen left behind is still there. And Bill Hendon, all these years, he sacrificed a lot in Congress. I'm willing to say that he sacrificed his seat getting reelected, trying to bring to light these men, their calls for help. And Bill was able to see the classified reports as they were coming through. And these men were sending out signals that, I mean, they were doing everything but waving the red, white, and blue from a rice paddy, and they were trying to do that. And I'm sure he can tell you about it. He hasn't already.
You know, they keep saying, giving reasons why they haven't done anything. Was there some drug smuggling going on in the Golden Triangle in there that may be one reason why they don't want some of these men out of there?
I've heard, you know, that maybe there was some CIA involvement there, but the issue goes a lot deeper than that. It's more complicated than that. And I just put it in my own terms that what it amounted to is we asked these men to go serve. They went and served. They come up missing, and when the shooting stopped, when the politicians wanted to start slapping each other on the back, they looked around, and they had this handful of forgotten ghosts. They just wanted to brush them under the rug and leave them alone. And primarily, as Billy will point out in his book, they certainly did not want to pay any reparations for them.
Well, now, was there not
Billy
a secret?
That real well.
Yeah, for this question for Bill Hendon. Bill, was there not a secret agreement to pay them over $4 billion, the North Vietnamese, for release of all of the POWs? Was that a secret agreement or what?
It certainly was. Kissinger negotiated it. And it was based on the Bay of Pigs prisoners, George. Ted knows this, that in, you know, the Bay of Pigs prisoners came back, Jack Kennedy and his brother Bobby. They paid $62 million, I think it was, or $58 million, whatever, to get them back. And that was in 1962 and 3. And the Vietnamese War was just getting started about that time. And Castro went to the Vietnamese when the war started getting hot. And he told them, said, listen, these Americans will pay. And what you want to do is you want to capture as many of them alive as you can. And you hold them because at the end of the war, they'll pay. Because the Kennedys paid for these guys out of my country that I captured. Well, it's exactly what happened, and we talk about it in the book. Kissinger ended up, and the Paris Peace Accords confirms it, and Kissinger went to Hanoi to confirm it in person in February 1973, that the U.S. government would pay $4.75 billion to the North Vietnamese if they quit fighting and give us our prisoners back. And they agreed to do it. And what was going to be was a North Korea-South Korea deal where the North was going to remain communist, the South was going to remain free, just like North Korea and South Korea. But and the North Vietnamese, and I'm convinced of this, a lot of people aren't, but they agreed to stop fighting if we would help them rebuild their country, all the war damage. Kissinger agreed to pay $4.75 billion if they give us the prisoners back. They gave us McCain and, thank God, 576 other guys. They gave us half of them and went to Kissinger and said, okay, give us our money. And Kissinger said, sorry, the joke's on you. And they said, Henry. The joke's on you, because we only gave you half, and when you're ready to pay, we'll give you the rest of it. And they've been saying it all the way up until 2000.
I got you.
Clinton,
we got to cut away. We'll be right back. Bye, Fred. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Butler. Welcome back, Bill Hendon and
Thank
Ted
you.
Sampley. And Ted Sampley, welcome back, too.
Thank you.
George. Hey,
yes,
George.
Yes.
I want to tell you something about sampling.
Okay, tell me. Is it nice?
It's all nice.
Okay.
I'm as proud to call that guy a friend as anybody I've got that I call a friend.
Okay.
In 1987 and 1988, this thing really started heating up. The boat people were just pouring out with all these reports, and the vets started coming with this Rolling Thunder thing that Ted's on the board of, and they started coming, and they came to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial first in 1988. It's in the book. We got a picture of them. There's just about 2,500 of them that came that year on their bikes, and I think Ted said now there's 750,000. But here's the deal. There was a booth that Sampley set up down there at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And he did it. He had to fight the Park Service, the administration, the police, everybody else, all the people in town, in Congress that were against it. And Sampley's booth, it was called the Last Firebase, and Ted manned it, and vets manned it, about 10 or 12 guys, just a core group. And so when Rolling Thunder started, they had a place to come. They came to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and everybody grouped up over at Sampley's, and Top Holland had one also, Booth, John Holland. We mentioned him earlier.
Yes, uh-huh.
And this was the
accountability. Yeah.
This was the nucleus of the entire Vietnam Veterans movement to get these men home. John Holland and Ted Sampley, who's on the phone right now. And so everything that's come out of it, I'm telling you, they're responsible for. Not me and the guys in Congress, not Bob Smith, not Red McDaniel, the former POW's done so much, but these guys, they were the nucleus of it, and Sampley and Top remain the nucleus of it today.
You make a good point there. It was all this red tape that almost kept something very good from happening, didn't it?
You asked Ted.
You see what I mean? Hard. What was that about? What did you have to go through to get those booths in there, Ted?
Oh, good God! We figured out a way to take advantage of some loopholes, but basically it was through the permit system. But they certainly didn't want us there, and we worked very hard to evict us. But let me drop back a second. Billy's book, An Enormous Crime. It is a long read, but it's a really interesting read, and it gives you a history, another perspective on Vietnam. And he documents it, document after document. He's got it on the internet. But if you'll get that book and you read it, you won't ask any questions anymore. Why would the Vietnamese keep them, or why would the U.S. government leave them, or why would John Kerry, the Viet Cong John Kerry, the Viet Cong sympathizer John Kerry, why would he side with the Vietnamese to kill these men on paper? And why would John McCain side with the Vietnamese to kill these men on paper? And that's exactly what they did. I want to mention something here, though. The Senate Select Committee in 1992, which Billy played a critical role in, so critical that the Kerry crowd finally got him ejected from the committee. In their final report, they begrudgingly, and they hid it because Kerry's people edited the report, they said, yes, we left American servicemen behind alive in captivity, but there's no proof they're alive today. Well, where's the proof they're dead? Billy has given proof after proof that they're still alive, or maybe more still alive.
They've done everything to sabotage going in there and bringing them home.
You're supposed to, these are American servicemen, they're supposed to get the benefit of the doubt. If they were left behind alive, and we don't know where they are today, and we're giving Vietnam normalized relations, trade relations, what the heck are we even dealing with these guys for, these communists for, until they start answering these questions?
I'll tell you one thing, Ted and George, the Pentagon knows where they are. You can better believe that. And Ted made about 8 or 10 trips over there in the post-war period trying to get the men out. I made 33. My co-author, Beth Stewart, went over there about 15 times. A whole bunch of us have gone, not to go back and look at the scenery, but to bang on the prison yard, on the gate, and demand to get in. Now, Sampley almost got arrested over in Laos, I got thrown out of the country, declared persona non grata. Beth got thrown out. Lamont Gaston, the head of Vietnam, he got thrown out. We demanded to go to those prisons, and the U.S. government just stood back and did nothing to help us.
I want to disagree with you a second, just a little bit. The Vietnamese, I mean, the United States government didn't do nothing. What they did is, if I remember distinctly seeing a picture of you handcuffed to a fence out there outside of a U.S. compound, telling them, come get me, I'll show you where to go, just give me a helicopter, give me a Jeep, come with me, I'll show you where this camp is, I'll show you where the Americans are. And they wouldn't listen to Billy, they wouldn't listen. Finally, he handcuffed himself to the fence and says, I'm not leaving till you go with me. They cut the handcuffs off and told him to go away, and they kicked him out of country. Now, why wouldn't they go?
Honestly, George, I stood out in front of the U.S. MIA office, and they wouldn't let me in. And finally, I handcuffed myself to the gate, and I stood there and yelled, bring the keys to the four-wheel drive over there. It's a Mitsubishi four-wheel. Bring the keys and come with me, and I will take you right to where the Americans are in the underground prison right now. And they came out and cut the handcuffs off the gate, and the Vietnamese took me downtown, put me on a little trial, declared me persona non grata. I'm not saying that they were going to hurt me or I was in any danger. I wasn't. Ted Sampley was in danger when the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese were shooting at him.
Yeah.
But they just threw me out of the country, and they told me, if you ever come back, Billy Boy, it's going to be a long stay. So I haven't been back since 1995. But the point is, the U.S. government didn't have the guts to go to the prison where the men were.
We should have never normalized relationships with Vietnam without those men being returned or some kind of agreement about
the
return.
Well, it's an enormous crime that we did.
Yes.
And in spite of everything that Teddy Sampley and all of his buddies did, and we did, and you did, and the straight-thinking people of America wanted done, this government here in Washington, Ted, have you ever seen anything to equal it in your life?
No, I haven't, and I don't want to see it again. I mean, it's just unbelievable how a government can turn around and turn on its warriors and just brush them under the rug and act like they didn't exist.
You know something, and this terrifies me, and I pray for these men and women in the Middle East. They'll do it again. If we don't get these men out of Indochina, they'll do it again if the going gets tough in the Middle East.
You know, Billy, John McCain's boy just come back from Iraq. I put a little piece in my paper about the walking K. I don't explain what that is yet. I wish you would. But it was a message that was a very clear message that was sent out of Southeast Asia. Was it of American servicemen missing. And I raised the question, John McCain, you cited.
Okay, we've got to cut away, Ted. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. You've heard me talk about the delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. I've told you for years that eFoodsDirect has the best storable food on the planet. Now it's that time of year again, and their holiday special is here. They have two holiday price packs for you to put into your reserves for a secure future or to share with others. The first is a 6-month bulk supply in 10 cans. And the second is a 5-week supply of quick and easy to fix meals, including delicious bakery items shipped in heavy tote bags. Now, for a limited time, when you order two or more of these special holiday packs, you'll get free shipping on your entire order. Call now, 800-409-5633, or visit them at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Butler. Welcome back, Bill Hendon and Ted Sampley.
Thank you, George.
Let me put this number out a second here. 1-800-259-9231. 859-9231. If you have a question for either one of our guests here, feel free to call in.
Hey, George.
Yes,
George.
Sir. Yes.
Ted was talking a minute ago about this message that he put in his newspaper. Ted, before you came on the air, I was telling him that on the cover of our book, this USA with the walking K under it is the and McCain say it's a satellite image where the guy is begging, or the guys are begging for the satellite to tell somebody to come get us and rescue us. And McCain says it's just a bunch of garbage. Now take it from there, Ted.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it just blew me away for McCain to take such an important piece of evidence and discounted the way he did. So I wrote an article in the paper, and I believe it was Jimmy McCain this one, right? Jimmy? Anyway, John McCain's boy was over in Iraq. Thank God for his service. Thank him for serving. Thank God he came home safe. But while he was there, if he had come up missing and he'd managed to get a walking K of his own identity out in the desert like that, and the satellite picked it up, would John McCain be so quick to discount it as he discounted the walking K from Vietnam? He betrayed those men. Would he betray his son? And that was the question, because he hurt a lot of POW-MIA families. The people that supported him during the war, people that camped or that were activists walking the streets trying to get the communists to treat him and all the POWs better. McCain turned on him when he come back. He basically has carried water for the communists ever since he got back. When he got in Congress and the Senate, he gave them everything they want despite the Vietnamese not giving the answers that they had about the men that were left behind.
Hey, Ted, and George, here's the scariest part about this whole discussion. Honest to God, the scariest part for our country. If John McCain, and John McCain knows that these men were left behind because he was a major part of leaving them behind, and he gave the Vietnamese a free pass, normalized relations, chummy, let's be friends, and all that stuff. Now, if he's elected president, or right now, his greatest nightmare is one of these men coming out and saying, why didn't you come get me? Now, what if the Vietnamese, if he's elected president, what if they dangle one of them out and say, John, Mr. President, you better do what we want you to do, buddy, or we're going to dump this guy out, and you'll be impeached and embarrassed and humiliated and run out of the White House. Now, you talk about a foreign power controlling the president of the United States. Try that one on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that could be very, very dangerous.
Tell me about it.
I never thought about that, but that's very, very dangerous for our country.
Keep in mind what the Senate Select Committee final report said. Yes, we left people behind alive in captivity. Yes, we left them behind.
McCain
they never went any further.
But
than
then they said that down. They were all dead or something. That was the excuse not to pursue.
There's no evidence they're alive.
They did that just to get rid of the issue.
McCain's greatest nightmare is one of these guys or a bunch of them coming across that river or somehow getting out of there alive. And the Vietnamese know that, and the Pathet Lao, the communist Lao know that. So what do they do? If he gets elected president, they've got him.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is. Now, scary.
We got a sign up on one of our web pages talking about the presidential election. It says the lesser of two evils is still evil, referring to McCain being the lesser of two evils.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't want my president controlled by the North Vietnamese.
Well, both of these candidates, that's why Ron Paul was such a marvelous candidate. Both of these candidates are going for the North American Union and all that other stuff.
Well, we're both leftists.
You know, they're at that level. They're bringing in this whole new world order on us.
Listen, our country is in the biggest trouble it's been in.
It's dangerous.
Surely in my lifetime.
It's very dangerous.
I'm 63 years old. It's in the biggest trouble it's been in since Pearl Harbor. There's no question about it. And And dear God, all we can do is just pray. But look at the options we got.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, there's a third party if people just go there. But in any case, let me say this, because I don't want to misinform it. Billy's book, all I can say is if you really want the answers, get it and read it. I bought several of them, sent them around to family and friends, and they all called me back and just told me how amazed they were at the information that was in there and the answers.
Well, it's all true.
I'm not just trying to sell his book. Because I'm just trying to tell you that the answers are there, that people call me and email me all the time. So why do they do this? Why do they do that? Read Enormous Crime. You won't have to ask. It's there.
I made a point earlier, Ted, and the point I made was not only is the book an excellent book on the POWs and all that, but it also is an educative tool for the average American citizen to say, look, this thing is real bad in Washington, D.C. It's a lot worse than you could ever imagine. It's a lot more corrupt, and they don't really give a damn about our military.
Well, I'm not sure they give a damn about anything except themselves.
That's it. They built themselves up into little demigods or something.
A perfect example of it is John Kerry and John McCain. They have done more damage to the men left behind than the Vietnamese ever did.
That's right, and that's from either party there.
You know, it's interesting that the communist Vietnamese are endorsing John McCain. Why would they do that?
Well, you know, Pelosi and them go in with this idea that they're going to straighten out the Iraq deal. They haven't done anything.
No.
They're working the deals with the Republicans just like, you know, like before. There's no big change on Iraq, see?
Well, you know, go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Ted.
I'm losing my voice a little bit. The issue of American, the issue is the American servicemen can only be alive in captivity. And Billy has documented a lot more numbers than I ever believed there were. And he's documented it. That were left behind alive, and the Vietnamese have never been required to explain what happened to them. Yet we gave them, or John Kerry, John McCain, and Bill Clinton, and George Bush Sr. started the movement to give the Vietnamese everything they wanted, and we got nothing in return. In a lot of cases, we got coffins draped with flags that had nothing but pig bones in them, and they claimed to be American soldiers. That's the extent of the betrayal. What these people in Washington, D.C. do to betray a serviceman and woman.
Well, the scary part about it, of course, is not only that these men, I'm sitting here in my office in Washington looking at these maps of Indochina right now and the prisons and all that stuff and just knowing what's going on over there. And it's right now quarter till, let's say, I guess it's a quarter to 11 in the morning. Tomorrow morning, and these boys are suffering. They want out. They're not in some little village with some woman and a bunch of little kids and chickens running around in the yard. These men are in prison. They're suffering. They're not dope smokers. They are American servicemen, and they're suffering. And the government knows they're there. Now, if they'll do that to these men for 30 years, what will they do to our people in Iraq?
Or even worse, in Afghanistan. Afghanistan might have a greater, evil potential for being captured there than in even Iraq. Because
well, I pray none of them are captured.
Well, we've got those territories in there, you know, where the tribal territories are. They could take them in there and they could disappear them. See. We've got to take another break here and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, your host. Welcome back, Bill Hendon and Ted Santley.
Hi, George.
You know, we interviewed back on May 3rd, okay, for two full hours. we interviewed William Lewis. He has a video out. It's called Washington, You're Fired.
I wish.
You know, maybe that 750,000 man army you've got there, Ted, ought to go in there and give them their walking papers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. If we could ever get them aimed in the same direction.
Yeah, I know.
Free spirits there.
Bill, what in closing comments here, we have this last segment. What advice would you give to your fellow Americans and your fellow, you know, the veterans out there and all the American public in general?
Pray for this country. We're in desperate straits. We're in the biggest trouble we've been in so long. And I'm embarrassed to say it's my Republican Party that's done it. Okay. And, that's not to say that the Democrats aren't a huge part of it, but just look at the record here and we haven't done so well. And, when you don't do well and you really screw up, then the other side comes in with the tide and they come in with a vengeance. And we can only pray that the other side somehow will see the light and won't ruin our country in the process. But we're going to have a big change, it looks like, this fall. And I guess that's
the
just
red,
the way
the
it is.
We got the red tide coming in.
What are you saying? What are you saying there, Ted? What's your opinion?
I say, well, Billy's absolutely right. And I'll go a step further. It's the red tide. It's a poisonous tide coming in.
Yeah.
Teddy, I'm afraid it's our fault.
I agree with you.
We dropped the ball.
We lost their moral compass. They've lost everything.
Yep, and just a bunch of crooks and a bunch of liars. And
well, now what we can
let me add something to the POWs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right quick. I wanted to say a while ago. You know, these returned POWs, God bless them. Yeah, thank you for coming home. My son's grandfather has not come home yet. He was missing in Laos. But they all come home, and they all claimed that they knew everybody that was alive in prison. They're not telling the truth. That's a fantasy they have. That they hang on to protect their own conscience that they should have, but knowing they're not telling the truth. It was impossible for those men to know who was captured and who was, and where they were being held. Billy, I can't remember the number of different prison camps, that they had all over North Vietnam alone.
Sure.
But there were so many of them. I don't know if you know the number off the top of your head or not.
Nah, but these guys couldn't have known. They kept them in two different systems. One and a half of them came back on the pledge that Kissinger and Nixon and the Paris Peace Accords were going to pay them the money. The other half would have been surfaced if they'd gotten the money. They didn't get the money. And you know what they did, Ted? They went and took South Vietnam. They didn't take South Vietnam until the money was denied them. And I'm not trying to be on the on the side of the communists. But they got screwed, and they went and took the South.
So we at the highest levels, Kissinger, all them, they violated an agreement.
Of course they did, and
they
Kissinger
lied. They lied to the American people.
Kissinger,
and then they're hiding it. They're hiding it and all that.
And Kissinger is McCain's chief foreign policy advisor.
Well, is he in and out of the White House now a lot, too?
I'm sure he is. He's sitting up in New York eating steak and drinking wine while these men suffer in Indochina. And it's an enormous crime.
Yes,
and
it
I
is.
Pray that this thing will somehow work out brave, abandoned men.
Well, Ron Paul has Campaign for Liberty, and he has this rally for the Republic up in Minnesota. We're going to all go in there. And we're going to try to make a difference and start organizing. In Texas alone, we had nearly a third of the state delegates in June.
I know you did.
I've got a story in the U.S. Veteran Dispatch we just posted. Colonel Riley, he's organizing Patriots Revolt.
Riley?
Colonel Harry Riley.
Okay.
And he's organizing Patriots Revolt, which is sort of trying to get Americans to stand up and revolt against both parties right now.
Well, yeah, we've got to see that those two party systems were dialectically dividing us, see? And then they would use us. Both party hierarchies have been using both membership of both parties.
I think the best thing could happen to our country right now would somehow McCain drop out or get thrown out before the convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and get a new Republican nominee and let him beat Obama, and maybe we could save this country. But I'm telling you,
pray for this country and pray for these brave men, George.
Yeah, what
happens, they'll take McCain off that medication that they keep him on to keep him from losing his
temper. What I see, McCain is a nominal, candidate against Obama. Obama's slated to go in. And I think McCain is just being put forward as some kind of it's just to trick everybody into thinking that they've got some kind of choice here. You know what I mean?
It's a sad day for our country. The choice is lousy.
Yes, it is.
And the options are lousy. And I just pray that the future is not lousy. But again, Ted and I have spent a lifetime trying to get these brave men home. And we think it would be good for America, not bad for America like McCain and Kerry and Kissinger think. We think it would be good for America to get these brave men out of there.
Well, you know what we need to do is go to Obama and say, where do you stand on this issue?
He's going to go to Kerry, and they ain't going to do nothing. Right. Nobody's going to do anything.
Well, then we need to publicize his response.
We need a break is what we need.
You gotta left this press. It's not gonna go.
I know it's politics quite a bit, pretty well, you know.
Well, if we get a break in Indochina somehow, that's what we're all praying for. Ted's helped us. We offer a big reward for these guys, $2.5 million. That's big in Indochina. And, maybe that'll work.
We need to get somebody out of that system that can testify.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how corrupt the U.S. government is. Talk about that reward. A billion in how many Congress? 22 congressmen, I believe it was. 22 Muslim congressmen pledged $100,000 each back to Charlotte Motor Speedway just for the return. Anybody in Southeast Asia that could orchestrate the return of a live prisoner of war? The government, through their channels in Thailand, right on into Laos, into Vietnam, changed that message and tried to turn it into anybody bringing bones in.
So they
polluted the whole message. Then they
from alive to dead remains.
That's right.
And so then they kill
the very essence of the reward, right?
Of course. These are bad boys.
I call it mind sorcery. These guys are sorcerers, what they are.
They really are. And, George, thank you for letting me and Ted be a part of this tonight.
Really, and God bless you, and thank you for everything you've done.
Well, a little bit, but y'all were way ahead of this for decades now.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm lucky enough to have a book that's going to sit on the library shelves for a long time, but Teddy Sampley's name ought to be right there on the Heroes of America list, okay? Because what he's done for these men and organizing the vets and being down there and being thrown in jail for having the vigil that he had down at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. He's a hero, and don't ever forget it.
I can agree with that. It seems like the biggest scoundrels in America build the biggest statues and the biggest libraries for one another.
Oh, man.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
And they perpetuate. That's what happens really on this issue, where they're covering up each other's problems.
Well, you imagine the North Vietnamese having complete control of McCain, because they're going to tell him, hey, Johnny, you do what we say or we're going to dump a guy out and you'll be impeached. That's the scariest thing.
And they might have more than that on him, too, when he was in captivity.
Keep in mind that the Chinese and the former Soviets, which could be the Russians, were also involved in that intelligence. So you know, no telling what
they were interrogating many of our prisoners.
Pray for these men in Indochina and pray for our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. That this never ever happens to them.
Exactly. That's for sure.
I'm gonna sign off from Washington D.C.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thank
Hinden.
You for having me on, Teddy. I'll see you on Veterans Day.
Thank you
boy.
Very much, Bill. We appreciate
okay,
your
Jordan.
Time. Good night, Ted. Are you still there?
Yeah, Ted, I'm gonna sign off from.
Hey, that's light a little candle. One of my songs. So let's do that. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, bye-bye. Ted. Good night. Appreciate it. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I came up with that. And we really believe that the solution is to forgive oneself and others. And through that, we can awaken. We can provide an infinitesimally bit of God's grace to others. And it frees you. It takes a burden off your shoulders to forgive is the way. is the only way. It is wisdom. Thanks for listening. Good night.